Hare, Brother and Sister, M. St. Helena, California, July 26, 1908. M. Hare, Edgefield, Tennessee. Dear Brother and Sister Hare, I have had some things on my mind that I wish to say to you, but again and again I have been prevented from doing so by other matters which have been brought up for my consideration. But I will not complain that there is so much to do. Rather, I will thank the Lord that He gives me strength to do it. Last night I had a good night's rest, for which I am thankful. I took a longer ride than usual this morning because I needed to rest my eyes. I pray continually that my eyesight may be preserved. I am much pleased that you can help establish the health food work at Nashville. I pray that the Lord may give you wisdom for the work. In the night season, I seem to be talking with you and saying, do not fail or be discouraged. The Lord will impart to you skill and understanding. He will be a present help in every time of need. At such times, it is your privilege to expect help from the one who understands. Do not worry. The Lord is your helper. The work which you have undertaken to do is no light work, but it is a good work, and I would say to you, go right ahead with it. If you humbly seek to do God's will, the Lord will let His light and courage come into your souls. In whatever place you may be called to labor, there will surely be trials and temptations to meet if you are doing a work that is profitable to the cause and people of God. Ever remember that the Lord is your helper and that He has promised to guide you with judgment. How often I desire to see you and my son Edson. I still think we shall visit the South, for I have a message of encouragement for our people there. At times I am tempted to say that I cannot travel anymore, but I still continue to do so. I have promised to attend the meeting at Los Angeles, and if the Lord gives me strength, I will leave here next week for that place. I have a message to bear to the people who shall assemble there. In the night season, I seem to be standing before large congregations and giving to them the messages given to me for them by the Lord. I have found the warm weather very trying during the past few weeks. It may be very warm in Southern California, nevertheless, I will go, putting my trust in the Lord. Our family is very small just now. We feel that we have the very best of help in our matron and cook, Miss Hannaford. We can thoroughly depend on her. This last week I have been able to attend family worship in the morning and to lead in prayer. I have realized that the Lord is near to hear our heartfelt petitions. I am grateful to the Lord that He is so merciful to me, and I can offer my simple prayer to Him in full confidence. I love the Lord. I am not faithless, but believing. It is our duty, as children of God, to talk faith and not doubt. We are to be hopeful and cheerful in the Lord. Let us not look on the dark side of circumstances, but look up and believe in the one whom God gave to the world to save us from our sins. Christ accomplishes our salvation by inspiring faith in our hearts and a belief in the truth. The truth makes free. And those whom the Son makes free are free indeed. Let us seek to honor God by revealing a constantly increasing confidence in the assurance that He will accept every soul who serves Him in sincerity. We are the Lord's little children, and we are to be led and upheld by Him. If we will learn lessons from the kindness and patience and tenderness of Jesus, we will be a blessing to all with whom we are associated. The Lord would have us take comfort in His promises and praise Him much more than we do. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth God. Psalm 50, verse 23. Let us learn how to express our gratitude to God for His wonderful condescension and love for mankind. The only begotten Son of God consented to leave the heavenly courts and come to our world to live with an ungrateful people who refused His gracious mercies. He consented to live a life of poverty and to endure suffering and temptation. He became a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And the word declares, "We hid, as it were, our faces from him." Isaiah 53, verse 3. Of his own disciples, Peter denied him, and Judas betrayed him. The people whom he came to bless rejected him. They put him to shame and caused him untold suffering. They placed his head a crown of thorns that pierced his holy temples. They beat him with a scourge, and then they nailed him to the cross. Yet amid it all, no word of complaint escaped his lips. No word of blame did he speak to his persecutors. On the cross he was taunted with the words, "Thou that destroyest the temple, and buildest it again in 3 days, come down from the cross, and we will believe in thee." Matthew 27, verse 40-42. Of the two thieves who were crucified with him, one railed on him. But the other reproved his companion and said to Christ, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And the Savior responded to his request, "Verily I say unto thee today, thou shalt be with me in paradise." Luke 23, verse 42-43. Christ did not say to the thief that he would be that day in paradise, but, "Today, while I am hanging in agony on the cross, I say unto thee, thou shalt be with me in paradise." The satanic agencies who were reviling the Savior heard his words to the repentant thief, and they trembled as they heard. Christ bore all this suffering in order to obtain the right to confer eternal righteousness upon as many as would believe on him. Oh, when I think of this, I feel that no complaint should ever escape my lips. When Christ was placed in Joseph's tomb, the Roman guard were stationed at the sepulchre to guard the body of Christ. Thus his enemies thought that they had made the body secure. They could not see that heavenly angels were also guarding the place and waiting for the moment when they should welcome to life again the Prince of Life. And behold, there was a great earthquake. Matthew 28, verse 2. An angel came down to earth clothed with the panoply of heaven. The bright beams of God's glory went before him, and before their brightness, the Roman guard fell as dead men to the earth. The mighty angel rolled away the stone from the sepulchre and called forth the Son of God. Coming forth, the Savior proclaimed over the rent sepulchre of Joseph, "I am the resurrection and the life." John 11, verse 25. When we are having a hard time, let us consider how much that our salvation cost the God of the universe. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3, verse 16. Let us consider what Christ has endured to make it possible to secure salvation for the world. This will hush every murmur and complaint. When we teach our hearts to respond to his love, our voices will ascend in thanksgiving when we are called to suffer in any way for him who gave his life for us. Brother and sister Hare, it means very much to be an overcomer. I am very anxious that you shall stand on vantage ground, and that of you it may be said, "They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony." Revelation 12, verse 11. Let us encourage thankful, rejoicing hearts. Let our testimony be borne in clear, ringing tones. "He gave his life for me. I will give my life for him. He has bought me at a priceless cost, and I will glorify his holy name." Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Philippians 4, verse 4. Let no murmuring word be heard. Do your best and expect that the Lord will care for you. Let expressions of praise flow from your lips as those who claim to be sons and daughters of God. Thus, you will set an example that is worthy of imitation. You can both do much for the church by setting an example of praise to God, for others will catch from you the spirit of thanksgiving. I hope our brethren will do their best to help you regulate and set things in order. With your knowledge of the health food work, you can do a good work and bring order out of confusion. You know how we had to labor in Australia under the hardest and most discouraging circumstances. But everyone had to act a disinterested part in order to accomplish what was done. You have had some experience in looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Let us remember that we each have an individuality, and that we each have a part to act in the work, which should be done faithfully. We need and must have a daily supply of the rich grace of Christ. Let the prayer be constantly ascending to heaven. Lord, teach me to do as Jesus would do, were he in my place. Our time to work is nearly ended. In our advocacy of the truth, our bitterest opponents should be treated with courtesy and respect, treated as Christ would treat them. They are bought with the price of Christ's precious blood. In our labors to advance the cause of present truth, Christ's ways are to become our ways, his example our pattern. If we will do this, our words and manners and influence will be a savor of life unto life to those with whom we deal. It is a solemn thought that by our influence we may close the hearts of those who know us to the truth. And every soul whom we thus influence will confront us in the judgment to condemn us. I have a deep interest in the work you are doing. It is a work that I believe should be done. We would not urge you unduly if you feel that you cannot do this, but I feel sure that if you will determine to serve the Lord with faithful hearts and with a spirit of cooperation, your brethren will sustain you. I pray that you both will walk in the path of humble obedience. I will always give you encouragement while you walk in the right way. It is our duty to fill that place in the work which we have knowledge and ability to fill. Make use of every opportunity of teaching to others your methods of manufacturing foods. May the Lord strengthen and bless you, is my prayer.